Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here, and really pleased to welcome back Melinda Myers. She, of course, nationally known gardening expert, TV and radio host. She's had a column for many, many years. She's written over 20 gardening books and been a regular on our show for a long, long time. It's great to have her back. We can talk about fall lawn and garden care. We can talk about fall planting, cleanup, what you can do now to get ready for spring planting. Have you planted your spring bulbs? Well, tell you what, it's going to be fun talking with her today, and I hope you'll join. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post a photo or question on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Melinda Myers, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Hey, thank you, Larry. It's always good to talk gardening, and it's been an exceptionally challenging year, I think, for gardeners with the crazy weather. But, you know, cooler temperatures and fall is a great time to plant, so it's always that spirit of optimism gardeners have, and it's a good time to put it to work.
Yeah. What do you say to the gardener who says, hey, it's going to freeze, all the plants are going to die? Why should I work in the garden now?
Because winter is long some years, and that last bit of color really pays off. You know, pansies, some mums and asters. I love the cool wave pansies that you plant in fall. They go dormant for the winter, and they brighten your garden before you even think about getting out in spring. I have some I planted 3 years ago that still, you know, every summer I'm ready to replace them when it gets hot, and they look too good to pull out. So I just kind of put those annuals somewhere else and let them kind of work their way through summer until it cools off, and then they're glorious again. And mums, you know, I think everybody buys those mums in fall. They're beautiful. Put them on your front steps, plant them in the garden. If they make it, you're an excellent gardener. If they don't, you planned it to be an annual, because all those plants are putting the energy in the flowers, not the roots. So when we plant them in the fall, well, we're giving them a little bit of stress. Let them stand. You know, after the ground freezes, throw some evergreen boughs on there and hope for the best. Otherwise, buy them in the spring. Let them get rooted, and you'll have beautiful flowers in the fall, more likely to survive as well.
Very good advice. I tell you what, John in Wausau has a question for you, so let's go right there. And, John, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Larry and Melinda. I have a question about a cotoneaster hedge that my neighbor has had for 60 years. He's cut it down to about 2 feet. And he wants to dig it out, and he offered it to me for my property. And I was wondering, should I transplant that now, or should I do it in the spring?
You know, is it doing well? Does it look good? I mean, did he prune it just now, or did he prune it earlier in the season?
He just pruned it, and that's why I was thinking maybe it's kind of maybe a little stressful to do the move right away, but I'm not sure. I'm from California originally, so I don't know how all this climate stuff works.
And wondering why you moved here some winters.
It's nice. It's beautiful here. It's wonderful.
Excellent. You know what I would suggest is, I think after it drops the leaves, if it hasn't already gone dormant, either fall or in early spring before growth begins. You know, this year with the crazy weather we had and the extreme heat, and some parts of the state were really under drought until the end of the summer, it was more stressful with spring plantings than when we'd planted in the fall. Plants put out a lot of root growth, trees and shrubs, right after they go dormant. So you probably will have equal success whether you do it this fall. Just be sure to water them in. Keep the soil slightly moist, not soggy, till the ground freezes. Put some shredded bark or wood chip mulch on the soil around the plants. Don't pile it over the stems. And you should have some good success. Cotoneasters, especially if they're 60 years old, they're probably pretty tough plants.
And give them a home. Is it a deep root system? He said he thought maybe a foot, it would be a foot for the roots.
Yeah, if you do a foot down and about 12 to 14 inches in diameter for each shrub. Now make sure you can manage it, because one of the challenges, a bigger root ball you dig is better for the plants. However, if you can't manage it and end up dropping it, then you end up breaking it apart. So if you can go at least 9, preferably 12 inches deep and 12 inches wide, This is when you find out who your true friends are.
Yeah, those are heavy.
Like
those are
heavy. I need 12 friends to help me with.
Maybe a forklift.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, Lisa and Madison, it is your turn. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to get up to speed on the local conditions here for climate and so forth. I did plant some bulbs, and I'm about to plant some maidenhair ferns that everybody tells me I can put in now. I also put down a little bit of rye seed, annual rye, and that's starting to germinate, which astonished me. But do I need mulch on any of these things? And if so, what type?
With the bulbs, one of the problems we saw last year, if you remember, if you were gardening here last year, is we had that cold snap, and then it got warm and cold, and a lot of people that planted their bulbs at the right time ended up with early sprouting. So with the bulbs, what I would suggest, I'm just getting started now since we've had such crazy weather, so those who haven't started, you're not too late. After the ground freezes, if you've had problems with early sprouting on your bulbs, maybe they're near the house, maybe they're in a location where they get a little heat from the dryer vent, so they tend to sprout early. After the ground freezes, you can throw some mulch down. Typically, we don't need to do that, but the key is keeping it consistently cold so when we have a winter thaw, those bulbs don't sprout. Maidenhair fern, again, just making sure that you keep the soil slightly moist until it freezes. They should be fine. Your rye seed, this was a tough year for people trying to put down grass seed just because of the rain we've been experiencing. But as long as the plants are up and growing, you're good with that. So mulching, winter mulch, the key to success of protecting plants is waiting till the ground freezes, because the goal is to keep it consistently cool, because when the soil freezes and thaws, it frost heaves, it shifts, and that's when we get the bulbs pushed out of the ground, or they sprout early, or some of our perennials are damaged. So we really have, it doesn't feel like it some days, but we really have a good month plus, and even a little more, when that ground is still warm enough for roots to form. So getting things in the ground, transplanting, dividing, and digging now is a great time to do those spring bloomers, or really any perennial that needs to be divided.
There we go. Thanks, Lisa, for calling. Appreciate it. Jan in Vilas County, your turn. Hi, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you. I guess part of my question has been answered. I thought I was getting late. Excuse me. But I dug up some daffodils yesterday. My question is, they already have the little white tip coming out of the bulb. Is that normal? And I wanted to give some of these away. Do I have to keep that moist, or can they dry out and get replanted? Or
how soon are you going to be able to get them to their new location?
That I don't know who's going to take them all. But and mine too, though.
So what I would suggest is if you can dig them out and keep them in a cool, dark place until you can get them back in the ground. Obviously, the sooner you get them back, the better. But keeping them cool will prevent them from putting on any more growth, and that's really the key. I wouldn't really want to dry them out at this point. Fall is when there is some growth. If there's some growth happening, we want to just stop it. So keeping it cool, in your basement in the coolest corner you have, a refrigerator that doesn't have fruit stored, because apples give off ethylene that encourages flowering, so that can kind of mess with initiating mm-hmm. flowers on your bulbs. So if you can keep them in a cool place, that would be the best. Yes, you can take them out of the soil, or you could just, what I like to do is just dig them, throw them in an old an old nursery pot. That's why I keep all those extra, perennial pots. Just throw them there and keep them in a cool spot outside in your garden, and that really reduces the maintenance. But if you're not sure and you have hundreds of them, just kind of carefully knock the soil off, let them dry out. If you use a hose to rinse it off, store them in a cool, dark place once they dry out, meaning just from washing the soil off.
There you go.
And then you should have good success, and people will be happy to get your daffodils. That's great for sharing.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you so much. Melinda Meyer is our guest today on Garden Talk. Always great to have her come by. And you know what? It's always great to have Michelle Good stop by as well. She's our Wisconsin Public Radio resident master gardener.
Well, not quite a master gardener.
You're pretty close.
I'm an expert, but I'm not a master.
Well, you're pretty darn good at it. And she's here to help me talk to you about our fall membership drive here during the Larry Mueller Show. Today, we're going to be asking you to put a value on this program, everything else you hear on WPR as well. Make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we've heard from listeners this morning.
We have. Last hour, we heard from 33 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Now, this is one of the last times, this is the very last day, that you can show your support for Larry Mueller and Garden Talk. And we have a goal of 35 pledges this hour. We've already gotten two. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And you can help us meet this goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy, like Larry Mueller, will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support.
And, of course, if you think that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're certainly right about that. They do, and certainly thank you for that.
Right. But listener support is really the single largest piece of our operating budget. That means you make the difference. You make the quality and variety of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
More than 20,000 WPR members are proud sustaining members. They provide a steady, reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, which is great.
It is, and it's super easy to become one. You can join the ranks. All you have to do is choose a monthly amount. Can make it $10 a month, whatever you want, and set it up on an ongoing basis. It's the best way to support the station that you rely on. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Got a special and useful thank you gift. Ask for the WPR Day Pack when you give $15 a month. This backpack is great for your commute, a trip to the library, the grocery store, an outdoor adventure, or wherever. If you're on the go, this bag will be so helpful. It's lightweight, stuffs into a pouch, and is perfect for everyday use. It has gray and black detail featuring the WPR and NPR logos. Check it out at WPR.org. Move through your day with ease and show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Carry around some of your gardening supplies in your backpack. Larry Mueller here. Yeah, not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Michelle Good with me as we talk about where you should go to make your contribution. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during our fall membership drive in support of Garden Talk and all the great gardening shows. Your gift, maybe it's $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And, you know, right now, if you make that pledge for $15 a month, you get this great WPR Day Pack, which I didn't know what a day pack was.
But nice.
It's like a little backpack, a little one that's almost like a shopping bag.
It's got straps.
Yeah, but you can put it on your back.
Yeah, it's got nice straps, not cords.
And I think this is a great idea for, like you were saying, for gardening. Wouldn't this be great for harvesting things mm-hmm. from your garden? You just wear it right on your back and harvest them, put it right in there. That would be yours for a pledge of $15 a month. And when you make that pledge, it's super easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how much you want to pay.
You can become a sustainer. It's really convenient to set up ongoing monthly donations directly from your bank account, your credit card, too, I believe. Your gift makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, next year is the 100-year anniversary of 9XM, which was the experimental station that sort of started WPR. And Larry is a direct link to the kind of educational programs of the past, the programs we have been doing for 100 years. You're a direct link to that with all of the gardening information. You have the therapists in. They come and talk about different kinds of injuries, how to take care of things like that. It is an incredibly unique service. Possibly, I would say it's rare that you find something like this on the air. If Garden Talk is something you appreciate every Friday, if you think about your planting and the next thing you think is, I got to tune into Garden Talk, got a question for Larry and one of his experts, show your support right now. You don't get a show anywhere else like this. This show is possible pledge by pledge because of listeners like you. So give right now. Show your support. This is the last day. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 32 more pledges in the next, 35, about 38 minutes here. Make your donation right now. Support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of every single person who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be.
And when you make your pledge of support, you will be helping the entire community here in Wisconsin. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every day.
32 more pledges in the next 40 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. We can do it with your support. Show the love to Larry. Show the love for Garden Talk. This is the time, like I said, the very last day that you can show Larry how much you appreciate all the educational information he brings to you. Make that gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really helps.
Coming up next week on Garden Talk, UW Extension gardening expert Sharon Morrissey will be back with us to answer your gardening questions, so I hope you can join us for that. Right now, visiting with Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert, author of over 20 gardening books. It's always fun. She and I have been doing this together for a long time, haven't we, Melinda?
We were both very young when we started, though.
we're young at heart still.
That's right, still, exactly.
Oh, man. If you have a question for Melinda or an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, when you buy plants at the end of the season, how do you know you're getting a healthy plant?
You know, great question. A couple things to look for. Look for signs of stress. Many nurseries bring fresh nursery stock, trees and shrubs in for selling in the fall because it's such a great time to plant. The soil's warm, the air's cool. But sometimes, as gardeners, we're looking for deals, so our planting budget goes further. And there's some of those plants that have spent the summer in the garden center or the nursery. So a couple things to look for. Check any leaves if they're still on the plant and make sure there's no signs of scorch. It was a hot, dry summer, so you may see some browning on the leaf edges. But, you know, pick the ones with minimal signs of drought stress. If the leaves have already dropped off because it is getting, you know, cooler and later in the fall, check to make sure those branches are pliable, that they're still bendable and there's signs of life in there. Kind of look overall, you know, going to a good, reliable garden center, an independent garden center, a nursery known for quality plants is always a good place to start. And then you have to decide, okay, if I'm going to get this plant that doesn't look the best, but it's half price, 75% off, you need to decide, is it worth the chance of spending the time and energy planting it and seeing if it will survive? You know, I think gardeners, we love to experiment, so we always like to take chances. But, you know, look for signs that the plants are insect-free, you know, no insect damage, the leaves are good, full-colored, if
they're still on the plant, depending on the species. Some are starting to turn fall color already. And then just signs that the plants have been well tended. You know, no insects, no damage, minimal breakage as it's been moved around or blown around with the winds this spring.
Lots of good tips there. Ember in Medford has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Ember.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Ember. What can we do for you?
I am wanting to start a garden next year, plant a garden, and currently it is lawn. So I want to know if there's any prep work I need to do now to have it ready for vegetables and flowers.
You know, there are a couple ways that you can start a garden, and you will have a great time. One of the things that is always hard to resist is starting with a huge garden because, you know, the plants are big, and then the heat of July and the mosquitoes arrive, and nobody wants to help you weed. So kind of think about how big of a garden you want first. Then you can actually start it. What kind of soil are you digging, Amber? Is it heavy? Is it kind of like, you know, modeling clay, or is it more sandy?
No, it's more of a heavy soil, but there's lots of, like, big boulders. Like, I'm talking huge rocks.
Okay. What you may want to do, there are a couple things to do. I had moved a few years ago. I have sandy soil. I'm kind of older, as we've just confessed, so I didn't want to spend 20 years amending my soil like I did in the city. So I've been doing a lot of lasagna gardening, and you can start it this fall or next spring. So measure out the area you want to create a bed, and then just edge it with a shovel or whatever. Cut the grass really short. Throw down some cardboard or newspaper. Then 8 to 10 inches of things like fall leaves, grass clippings from your lawn if you haven't used a weed killer, aged manure, things like that. Some of that, just like you were composting, 8 to 10 inches. An inch of compost, some fertilizer, repeat until the bed is 18 to 24 inches tall. Now, it sounds like a lot of work, but the good news is you're done. You can either plant immediately if you do this in the spring, or you do it in the fall and it's ready to plant in the spring, and that's called lasagna gardening. If your lawn is doing great, that means that your soil is probably okay. You could do something similar, edge the bed, cut the grass short, throw down some newspaper, and put some shredded leaves on top. That newspaper, the grass will be smothered. The newspaper will help suffocate that. It will break down and the leaves will break down. So come spring, you can either pull aside that mulch, what's left, or dig it in to improve the soil by adding organic matter. The other thing is if you can remove the sod, and you can either do it now or next spring, and then if needed, adding organic matter, digging it into the top 8 to 10 inches to help improve drainage in that heavy soil. If you choose to use chemicals, edge the bed, till the grass with Roundup, follow the label directions, and then you can either till that dead grass in or remove it or let it decompose if you do it this fall. And then, again, tilling in the dead grass and any other organic matter. So there's a lot of options. On my website, melindamyers.com, we have a video showing how to do lasagna gardening. And I have to confess, I had great crop of weeds this year, except in my lasagna garden. The beds that I'd set up were productive, and the weeds really weren't much of an issue in those beds. So that's kind of my new strategy. But any of these will work, and you need to fit the gardening style to your schedule and your desire. I was talking about you the other day, Larry, about somebody was asking me about straw bale gardening. And I said, well, you know, Larry's the guy because, you know, and that's another option for people with limited space that maybe want to elevate the garden or just try something fun as well.
Or they may have black walnut trees or something.
Good point. Very good point.
That's something to think about, Ember. If you have any black walnuts trees on your property or near, or even the leaves, I think could be a problem.
True. Yeah.
For mulching them. So you wouldn't use those.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything like that around our property.
You'd probably know it about now.
Yeah. So,
see.
So hopefully I haven't overwhelmed you with choices but made you feel better that you have options.
No, it's good. I just wanted to get away from having to spray with Roundup and maybe, you know, do something better for, you know, our water and such.
Go to Melinda's site, though, because that's a really nice video on how to put together a lasagna garden.
Okay.
What's your site again, Melinda?
It's melindamyers.com.
MelindaMyers.com. And I think we have a link to it on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show as well. KP's checking that out. So we'll... it was a good question, because probably there are other people with that same idea. So it's great.
And, you know, and a good thing to do is take advantage of the fall. You know, if you're this is a great time to prep the garden, or at least plan for your preparation for next year. And if you're starting a new garden, you may want to take a soil test now, because, or if you've had problem areas, because the soil labs are less overwhelmed in the fall. Everybody's done. They don't think about it. You send your sample in. You have the results and recommendation ready for next spring. So you're not joining the hundreds of people that go, oh, I forgot to do my soil test. And so it's a good place to start as well.
Thanks, Amber. Let's go to Carol and Sullivan next. Hi, Carol. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. This is the first year I planted cannas.
Okay.
But I planted them in a large wine barrel.
Okay.
And I put two of the, what do you call them, rhizomes?
Rhizomes, very good, yeah.
And they came up just beautiful. Oh, my
Excellent.
God. But they multiplied like crazy. What do I do with them for this fall and winter?
You know, great question. Cannas, I always laugh. Wisconsin has been big canna growers for many, many years.
Yeah.
And so when they become very popular in different parts of the country, I'm like, we've been doing that for years. Cannas, like your dahlias, your caladiums, your tuberous begonias, need to come inside, as you know, for winter. So after the frost kills the top of your cannas, lift them out. And you're obviously aware you have many more than you started, so carefully dig. Let them cure, and that means set them out in a warm, dry location, at least for a day or two. Then cut the stems. Those stems will be dried back by then if they're not already dried from the killing frost. Leave just about an inch above that rhizome, those rhizomes, and then just loosen the soil, brush the soil off. Don't scrub them like potatoes, but remove that soil, and as it dries, it'll come off a lot easier. A lot of different ways. Some people throw them in a bag in the basement, and they say, done, good. Packing them in peat moss or sawdust or vermiculite is a great way to store them, so if one gets rotten, it doesn't infect the others, and it also keeps them from drying out. Store them in the coolest corner you have in your basement. Unheated garages are too cold. Heated garages are too warm. So finding that perfect spot in the corner of your basement away from the furnace. Some people have an extra refrigerator for storing bulbs, for forcing, and for overwintering. But it needs to be at least 45 degrees if you're going to store your cannas in there. So it's just finding that cool spot. Cannas are some of the easier ones, I find, to overwinter in the basement and a dormant stage. So you should have pretty good success. And then divide in the spring and either more whiskey barrels or share with plants and trade for something else you want.
There you go. Melinda Myers, our guest. Carol, thank you, by the way, for calling. Melinda, of course, regular here on the Ideas Network. She's a nationally known gardening expert with over 20 books to her credit. Really always fun to have her with us. And it's always great to see Michelle Good, who's joined me again today to help me talk to you about your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during our pledge drive, our membership drive. This drive is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs, because you're providing the support. And we'll be back with Melinda in just a minute or two. But first, Michelle is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
Make your gift in support of Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show and all the great information that you get from this program and all the great programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're looking for 25 more pledges in the next 25 minutes. That's 1 minute, which means you should be picking up your phone right now to make that call, because your support helps keep this station strong. So help pay for the Larry Mueller Show with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love talking with Melinda Myers. She knows so much. She gives great answers that we can understand. Even I can understand. And we have many, many great guests on Garden Talk. And I think Garden Talk's an example of the kind of interesting and informative programs we have on this show, on
this
station.
So true. So take a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that's right for you and then make your pledge. Do it now, 24 more pledges at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. And whether you found us by maybe scanning the dial, maybe a friend recommended the news and great discussions we have, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, help pay for your public radio station. You choose the amount, $5 or $10 a month. That's a great starting point. $15 gets you this great day pack, or choose whatever amount's comfortable for you. But become our next new member now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality, and that quality is possible, really, thanks to you. Thank you very much. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible, and so many others as well. You're part of the quality that you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. That happens when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
You know what? Our purpose is... today to have you make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Michelle Good asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive and during Garden Talk. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate it. We certainly count on your gift.
Listening to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you smart. Maybe it doesn't actually make you smart, but it makes you feel smarter. It's like tuition-free lifelong education. All you need is a radio, computer, or a mobile phone to listen on.
I always say that I'm pretty good at a party because I know a little bit about a lot of different things. I learn them on my own show and other shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. So I support Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's your support that makes this lifelong learning available to you and the hundreds of thousands of other people as well. It's an amazing thing. You have the power to share the information and learn with a huge community of people when you support WPR at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We need 24 more pledges before this hour is out. This is our first membership drive of the fiscal year, so this really sets the tone for, you know, what we're going to have to be doing fundraising-wise for the rest of the year. Show your support. You can actually, like, cut those fund drives a little shorter next time because we might not have to make so much money. And you can show your support for the Larry Mueller Show. 23 more pledges. I know there are Garden Talk fans, Garden Talk groupies out there. Mm-hmm. This is your time to step up. This is the last Garden Talk of this pledge drive for you to show your support. And now is the time. Pick up that phone, make that call, show your support. WPR.org. 888-202-2552. It makes a difference.
It does. And we work on the honor system around here. You don't have to pay for it, but when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs that you like possible. How about a pledge right now? Let's say 10 or 20 bucks a month.
But you can decide any amount. just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. There are costs associated with high-quality radio like this, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important. Make your pledge right. It's quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time. Contribution, any amount, $5 or $10 a month, let's say, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes it all possible.
23 more pledges. 20 minutes to get there. We need people to start calling 888-202-2552. Go to WPR.org. This is the kind of program you don't get anywhere else. It's very infrequent that you can call somebody with a question about home repair, about your pet, about invasive weeds in your garden. You can call an expert and find out. That's something you don't get anywhere else. Show your support for this kind of program. Show the love to Larry. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. On this edition of Garden Talk, we're visiting with Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert. It's so much fun to visit with her. And lots of callers online at 1-800-642-1234. So, Melinda, I think we'll go right back to the phones and to Mike in La Crosse. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking the call. The reason I'm calling is about planting trees, fall planting trees. Past couple years, I've gotten a couple of trees that had roots circling around them.
All girdled.
Anyway, girdled, thank you. And anyway, one of them was a really nice ginkgo biloba that was about 8-9 feet tall. I planted it. And the thing about it was it came in a pot from the nursery, and they had planted, and the amount of dirt was covering up the trunk deeper than it should have been. And I planted it at that same depth, and so then I was totally unaware of the root girdling. And it came up and grew nicely the first year. The second year, it came up and grew, put out foliage, and all of a sudden, about the middle of June, suddenly it just died off. And anyway, later on that year, I also had an arborist coming around looking at some of my other trees, and he says, "What's with this one over here?" And he goes over there, gets on his knees, and starts digging around, and here digs down a little bit, and it's starting to put out some shoots from down below where it was dead. But anyway, now it's 3 years later. I've got it up to about 6 feet tall again in a different location. But what he instructed me to do was to he showed me how deep on that particular tree it should be planted, and then he showed me how to cut the girdling roots away. And so if you could talk a little bit about that, because I know some trees, they have to be, it's bad for them to plant them too deeply, and others, others, it really doesn't make any difference. So if you could talk about that.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it. As a certified arborist and a fellow gardener, that's a lot of effort putting a tree in, and it's an expensive investment, and it's something we want to put in and enjoy for years to come. So thank you for bringing this up. Some of our research over the past 30 or 40 years has shown that, we used to, when I started, plant the depth that was growing in the nursery, but some of the nursery practices and just, how plants are propagated, sometimes they're a little deep. So when you do purchase a plant, a tree, look for what's called the root flare, that area where the trunk flares out. So if you were hiking in the woods and you trip over the roots, you kind of look and you can see that you've got kind of like this curve going down. If your tree goes straight in the ground like a telephone pole, it's planted too deep. And what happens is that tissue, above the root system is designed to be above ground, not below ground. So when trees are planted too deep, it encourages girdling roots. So sometimes they come that way in the pot, they've become pot bound. So when you plant, as you mentioned, Mike, you want to loosen those up, cut any girdling roots. Those are roots that grow around the trunk, because as they get bigger and the trunk gets bigger, it chokes the tree, basically stops the flow of water and nutrients. And so what happens is what you've described. The tree ends up dying back or struggling for years and then eventually dying back. So we're going to look for the root flare. We're going to loosen any girdling roots. We're going to plant the tree at the same depth so that root flare is at or slightly above the soil surface.
They've also done research, especially those of you gardening in heavy clay soil. You think, how are those roots ever going to penetrate? Well, Morton Arboretum did research and found if you make a saucer-shaped hole, so you only want to dig the hole in the center as deep as the area from the root flare to the bottom of the root ball, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if we dig deeper, it's going to settle and be low. So that's the deepest point. And then you make it look like a saucer as wide as you can, 2 to 5 times wider than the root ball. Sounds like a lot, but if you're going shallow, what they found is that gives the roots kind of a running start so they can work through that broken up soil easier. We don't amend the soil because if you make it too nice, those roots, it's like a pot in the ground, continue to grow in a circle and never penetrate the surrounding soil. Water and mulch are the best things we can do after planting and also for the longevity and health of our tree. Wait a year to fertilize. They found you'll get the best uptake. Trees Are Good is a great website put on by the International Society of Arboriculture with some good pruning and planting tips. We also did several Melinda's Garden Moments on planting trees, and my DVD set for great courses on Make Your Trees and Shrubs Thrive, we talk a lot about that. But visit my website or Trees Are Good, and Mike, thank you so much for bringing it up. You're going to save a lot of people some headaches and disappointment.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question.
Thanks a lot for your question. Georgia in Eau Claire up next. Hi, Georgia. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I have about a quarter pound of a mixed flower seed. And I'm wondering, I didn't get to plant it this summer due to reasons like everyone else, I guess, but is it possible for me to plant those in the fall and then have them come up successfully in the spring? And in general, are there any seeds you can plant in the fall?
You know, many perennial seeds and wildflower seeds need that cold vernalization, a cold period, so planting those in some biennials, planting in the fall, and then they get that chill and come up in spring. Most annuals we want to wait to plant in spring because the winter temperatures, they may or may not survive in the cold ground. So if in doubt, you could always store that in your spare refrigerator. That keeps the seed consistently cold. But you may want to look and see if it's a wildflower mix. A lot of times they'll give you recommendations for both spring or fall planting. If you bought a quarter pound mix, you may want to go to the website of the place you purchased because it may outline the plants that are in that mix and give you a better idea. You know, and then there's always the, well, it's now or never.
Yeah.
Whatever comes up, comes up. And I learn a lot by having that attitude in my garden. But if in doubt, you could just store it in your refrigerator, you know, over the winter. That keeps it consistently cool. That's the goal there. And in an airtight container, if the bag is open, like a big, you know, Tupperware plastic container or plastic bag, just to keep it from getting too moist in the high humidity, but that will help preserve those seeds if you prefer to plant in spring. But you may want to check with the place you purchased to find out exactly what's in there, or they may have a little more information so that you can see 50% of these would do fine with a fall planting, or you'd be better off waiting till spring.
There we go. Thanks, Georgia, for calling. Jim in Wisconsin Rapids, what's on your mind?
Good morning. I have a question about pruning a hibiscus plant. I rescued it from a friend who had it on her deck. It was nibbled down to almost nothing by some deer.
Oh.
And I thought, well, I don't think that's dead. Let me take it. And I live in a little bit more rural area or urban. Anyway, it's doing well. It seems to flower in waves, and it's about to flower again, I think. And I want to know when's the proper time to prune that so it doesn't get long and spindly.
Good question. So I'm assuming a tropical that you're bringing in the house for winter. And
yeah.
The fun part is we always seem to get the best blooms when we bring them inside.
Yeah.
If you're growing it, a lot of people cut them back in the fall just to manage it. I'm usually the one that's got all those blooms just really peeking out in fall, so I bring it in and treat it like a house plant so I can enjoy the flowers. Either way, prune what you need to if you need to reduce the size. Otherwise, leave it intact, enjoy the blooms, let it adjust to the indoor conditions. Finish your pruning. The key is finish pruning by the end of February to help encourage blooms during the summer next year. So either way, a lot of people prune them back in the fall. I choose to wait. I figure more leaves, more stems. You know, it'll help it through that transition. Both ways seem to work fine, but just get your pruning done by the end of February. That way it'll stimulate new growth, but that growth will have a chance to kind of harden off, and then you can switch gears to blooming. Start with a high phosphorus, a flowering plant food, in March or April when the days lengthen and light intensity improves, and that will also help kick it into bloom a little earlier next summer.
Sounds great. Michelle, Melinda Myers, our guest today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking on this edition of Garden Talk. I said Michelle because Michelle Good just walked back in the studio with me to remind you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing Garden Talk and other shows to you. Your support makes that happen, so I hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have heard from 19 Garden Talk fans, but we are still looking for 16 more in the next 10 minutes or so. That's why your gift right now is so important. It supports the programs that you rely on every day.
Thanks very much if you've already given. And if you haven't, really the time is now as we near the top of the hour. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Master gardeners actually can get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk. That's how valuable of a resource that Garden Talk is to listeners like you. That's really amazing. And you get to enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees or maybe organic gardening or rose bushes or many other topics. And Melinda can talk about any of them, I think. Mm. Apply some fertilizer to the program right now. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, it is very gardening related because your pledge of support helps the program grow.
Exactly.
There you go. And you know, the thing is, you might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
And you get those things on this station as well. And in fact, the quality of what you get from WPR, I think, is really unmatched.
Mm-hmm.
Become a sustaining member. You could do that with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and keep this station strong.
Here at WPR, a lot of thought goes into what we select as thank you gifts during our membership drives. We ask people for their ideas. We check out what other public radio stations are offering and do lots of internet research. And it's all worth it because we're introducing the WPR logo day pack.
It looks pretty rugged, a little sporty backpack.
Very light and compact.
I like the colors.
My kids have day packs and they're just like, it's like string for the straps, but these are actual proper shoulder straps.
It's perfect for all of your daily adventures. So ask for the WPR day pack when you donate $15 a month or more. Support your source and your lower back by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, I hope you'll give right now. Pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Michelle Good asking for your support during our drive. And maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $20, maybe it's $30. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
16 more pledges in the next 8 minutes. And when you make that pledge, a great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $15 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you can get headlines and sound bites in other places, but where do you go for in-depth discussions?
Well, I would go right here.
That's a good choice. I'm happy you chose
radio.
That.
The Ideas Network. Here you don't just get a 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information, and your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes it all possible.
And you get your questions answered. If you've got a question about your pet, if you've got a question about travel, airfare, maybe you want to go to Cuba, plan a trip, we have people who can help you on this show. There are regulars who come on once a month. Do you have an insect problem? Do you have a roofing problem? You can call in and get your question answered. And, you know, sometimes you don't even have to call in. You can just be listening and get your question answered. Isn't that worth something to you? Isn't that worth $5 a month or $10 a month? Have you made that pledge? Maybe you're a new member. It is time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Show your support for Larry Mueller and all the great WPR programs that we have. It's your public radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, you can help pay for those programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And here's the beauty of the whole thing. It's a voluntary donation so that you decide how much to give, because how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give.
Since contributing is your choice and because WPR is something you value, you'll probably find that donating feels good. You can find out right now about that. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Many new members give, $5 or $10 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you.
Whatever is right for you, that's how much you should give. It's completely up to you. But it is time for you to step up to the plate. 14 more pledges in the next 2 minutes. Yeah, it carries over for a little bit. But it is the time. Show your support for the kind of value listening that you get here with Larry Mueller every day of the week, and Garden Talk in particular, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Carry your garden vegetables in the WPR day pack that you can
love
get
that
during the pledge drive. A neat handy bag with both the WPR and the NPR logos. It's yours for a pledge of $15 or a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Melinda from Maguanago says, I'm renewing my membership. I'm a fan of all your shows. Are you like Melinda? Would that be Melinda Meyer?
I don't know.
I don't either. But show your support. Make that pledge right now. Renew or join right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Back with Melinda in a couple of minutes. Great to have you on for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Melinda Myers. And we're going to be taking your calls right now about gardening of all kinds. I just want to mention to start this half hour that we have a generous match of $2,500. It's a dollar-for-dollar match from the Wisconsin Gardeners Association, and it means they'll match every dollar you give up to $2,500. Their way to encourage you to join in supporting Garden Talk. So I'm really happy with that. So if you haven't pledged yet, you can pledge right now and double your pledge. And Melinda, we have Harriet from Richland Center who's been waiting a bit. So let's go to Harriet. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. We have a new construction situation here and trying to get grass grown and a flower garden, and we haven't been able to our black dirt and get our grass growing, and therefore I can't plant my plants. I have 3 hydrangeas and 2 Russian sage to go in, and I'm wondering if it's time to hang it up and heal them in like one of my raised beds that are empty now.
You know, you still have some time. I have to confess, last year was so crazy. I did a lot of planting in December. Now, I lucked out because we had that warm spell and things did okay. Not necessarily the best, but as gardeners, we all push our limits. So your grass is seeded or you're waiting to do that in spring?
We can't.
I think what she was saying was they didn't get the dirt down.
Oh, okay, and that's why she can't do her beds, because the soil isn't there. Okay, thank you, Larry. I didn't quite catch that. So, yeah, Harriet, so here's what I'd suggest. If it looks like you may want to just take this stress off your list, so you may want to just take those hydrangea and Russian sage, leave them in their pots, but sink them in a vacant part of the garden, in one of your raised beds or a sheltered area where you've got some planting space that's vacant. That's a great way to overwinter those perennials, trees, and shrubs that we don't get in the ground. The other thing, if you have a lot of them and no space to bury them, put them all together. I'll take my annual pots, my petunias, begonias, the things that are going to die. I don't empty those pots, but I set them around the things I'm trying to protect, their root system. So if I've got about five perennials, I'll put my annuals around it. Or you could put bags of potting mix, bales of straw if you have a fall display, anything to insulate the roots. The third way is to put them in an unheated garage. Just make sure you water whenever the soil is thawed and dry. So you may just want to take that stressor off your list so that, you know, you can really think about where you want to place them and have the bed ready in spring. So just heal them in for the winter. Otherwise, you still have a good month to get them in the ground. But it sounds like you have a lot on your plate. So you might want to just say, take this off and do it in the spring.
There you go. Thanks, Harriet. James in Minneapolis, thank you for calling.
How's it going today, Larry and Arbor Lady?
Oh, well, it's going great.
Hey, listen, they were doing some clearing by a creek in Altoona, Wisconsin, and there was a couple of trees that were cut down, rather large circumference, but in the middle of them was an indigo black blue, you know, a stain that seemed to be in the middle of the tree, and it was just after they cut it down. There was only two trees that were like this. The rest of them, of the same species, whatever that may be, were clear. And I was just wondering, is that something that's leaching from the stream, or is that a natural thing in a tree?
If it's,
was it blue?
Yeah. You know, this can be an indication possibly of a disease problem. Nothing jumps out at me in terms of the staining.
Blue stain disease is one.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead.
This is why
you're good at parties,
Eric. typically, it comes from a microbe that creates a stain in the tree, and it's it's bad if you're a timber cutter and you're selling the wood, because that stain stays with the wood, and you're. But if it was black, it could have been a normal part. If it was right in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of spiders out from the middle. I mean, it's beautiful. And I was looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, cutting some slabs of it off and, you know, making little coffee tables or, you know, something like that.
Well, you could probably do that.
I didn't know if it was something that once you cut it, it dries out of it and the stain isn't there anymore. So I didn't want to go through the trouble if it was going to go away.
I don't think if it's blue stain, it won't go away. So.
Oh, great. Well,
you'd have that. But Belinda, you're the expert here. What else could it be?
You know, there are some vascular diseases, but the way you're saying it's radiating out, it's not typical of some of those other vascular diseases that typically ring. So it sounds like Larry made the proper diagnosis. So, if you can sacrifice the time, it'd be very cool to see if it does stay. I know it's a lot of work, but that would be a beautiful piece.
Oh, it would.
Well,
yeah.
If I do and I make it, I'll send you a picture of it.
I would love to see it.
Excellent. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, something I just learned about recently. I didn't know about blue stain, but until a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
And that is why it was me from Iguanago who donated last hour, because I always learn something when I, you know, from our listeners, from you, and from your other guests. So,
thank you.
Good investment.
Brian in Hudson, Wisconsin, it's your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question for you. I have about a 5-acre natural grassland that used to be 5 acres, and now it's about 4.5 due to thistle infestation.
Oh.
I have tried the natural approach. I cut, mowed that area. The only thing that popped up was more thistles. And ended up doing Roundup, unfortunately, on that area, but the thistles keep appearing. Wondering if there's anything I can do this fall to keep it from happening and overtaking the next 5 acres.
So is this a natural, is this, are these prairie plants that you're growing? So it's a native prairie that typically mowing, timing of mowing is very helpful, but also burning if it's an option. Is this a native?
Burning is, it's natural grassland that has never been mowed that I can see in the last 5 years.
Okay, mowing is one option to help in timing in spring, and that'll help. And then thistles, and with the heat this summer, boy, they did great.
Especially Canada thistle, and they're so tough to beat.
Yes, exactly. And so mowing with timing, it's usually in the spring, and then trying to keep after it. You know, I know 4.5 acre spot treating, not really probably very practical, but if you can even just, you know, if you go out and take a walk with a bag and top those flowers off of the thistles, at least you're reducing the future population so that you're trying to build that health of your grassland. Mowing and chopping up that debris also adds organic matter to the soil to help your grasses better outcompete with the thistles. Neil DeBull, who's a regular guest on Larry's show, has some really good information on mowing prairies. And even though this isn't a prairie, it's a natural grassland, and that may help in terms of looking at some of the timing issues that he recommends. The Department of Natural Resources Invasive Plant website, on their website, the Invasive Plants, also talks about management strategies, not just chemical. But I think mowing the whole area to try to keep the thistles down growth is a way to do it. And then if you can, spot treat, at least remove the flowers to try to reduce the future seeding.
Yeah. And both sites, Prairie Nursery, it would be Neil DeBull's place, and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. If you go to Invasive Weeds on their website, you'll get a lot of information there for sure. Thank you, Brian.
Good luck, Brian. Yeah,
appreciate the call. Carolyn Washburn, it's your turn. Hi, Carol.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Is there a product I can put in the ground when I plant my unusual quantity of bulbs that I got carried away with, just to restrain rodents?
Oh.
That's one question. And then number two, I've been saving my milkweed pods, you know, to dry, to do whatever, to dry them out. And I'd like to know where you can mail that, because I know people are planting them in large quantities. And also, is the Larry Mueller Garden Show next week at the Pavilion in Bayfield, or did I miss that?
No, I will be back there in May.
In May. Okay, yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the easy one. I was laughing about your bulbs because I just received 3 big boxes of bulbs that I have to get in the ground, too. Animals are always a challenge, especially for tulips, and those are and crocus, their favorites. I do a lot of bulbs like daffodils and hyacinths and things they tend to leave alone, but I do pop a few tulips in. A couple things. Some people have great success with cayenne pepper. You know, wear gloves and goggles, but, you know, they do a little shake and bake, and they find that helps keep the rodents from digging. Avoid bone meal. An old recommendation, not really helpful for the bulbs, but many find that brings the rodents in, so we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some repellents, people have had success, check the label, applying those at planting, so you get the bulbs in and apply it, and some have found that can help, you know, keep the animals at bay. If you have a large number, you're probably not going to want to do this, but some people make bulb cages or protection, so they plant their bulbs, cover them with a little bit of soil, put chicken wire over top and the sides of that area so the bulbs can grow through, but the animals are discouraged. Some people even have success just putting it over the soil surface, but I find my ground squirrels are pretty clever.
Yeah.
They work around that. So those are some of the things you can do. I find, you know, I love tulips and I plant them and I just know I'm taking a chance. So I plant mostly things the animals leave alone, squills, grape hyacinths, regular hyacinths, daffodils, fritillarias, those kind of things. So I increase the odds of having a beautiful spring display with minimal effort on my part.
What about depth for tulip bulbs? You don't plant those very deep, do you?
Good point. You know, if you read the tag, they say 8 inches, but we have such heavy soil, most of us gardening, that if you could get down 8 inches, it'd be amazing. So with bulbs, we plant them 2 to 3 times the height of the bulb deep. So usually 6 inches at the most.
Yeah.
And if we go deeper, we end up getting root rot. The depth is to protect them from winter cold, but also the heat of summer, because hot summers can help, can discourage bloom. So, you know, you want to get them 2 to 3 times the height of your bulb deep. But as you mentioned, going too deep, you end up with root rot and problems like that.
Let's go to Keith in Star Lake next. Hi, Keith. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. My question is, on tame raspberries, when to cut them back and how low? And they've never been cut back before.
Are they summer bearing or fall bearing or both?
Summer bearing.
Okay, summer bearing have their fruit on the second year plant. So the stems that had fruit this year, so you'll probably see the dried up canes. They'll still have leaves, but they'll be darker. Maybe some dried up, you know, the receptacles, the part of the fruit that remains when you harvest. Those you want to take back to ground level. If possible in summer, not that I got that done on mine either this year, or winter. So you take those done. They're done. The canes that came up this spring won't have fruit until next summer. So late winter, after we see what the rabbits and deer have done and the winter damage, thin out that planting to about 4 or 5 canes per foot of row. And that'll give each cane better airflow, light penetration, bigger harvest, fewer disease problems. So you can either do that all at once, take the old canes out at this point, or break it up. The reason I recommend late winter is just see what animal damage occurs so you have more stems to work with in case the rabbits are hungry.
Okay. Melinda Myers, our guest today. Always a great pleasure to have her with us, nationally known garden expert, written over 20 books. She's at the Milwaukee NARI Fall and Home Remodeling Show this afternoon at 2:30 at the Wisconsin Expo Center at State Fair Park. So you might want to visit with her there today at 2:30 at the Wisconsin Expo Center at State Fair Park. Well, we're in our fall membership drive, and Michelle Good has joined me. You count on WPR for great discussion. It's your gift, any amount that makes our discussions possible. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, last hour we heard from 27 new and returning members. Thank you for those pledges. And right now we have something very exciting for the last 10 minutes that you can show your appreciation for the Larry Mueller Show. We have a dollar for dollar match, up to $2,500, and it is made possible by the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It means that for every dollar you pledge, they will match it.
I love that group. It was a wonderful bunch of people, and it's always fun when I have a chance to talk with them. And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support. Contribute $100. They'll give $100. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Help us take advantage of that dollar-for-dollar match. We do not want to leave any of that on the table. This is your chance to get your dollars matched. Show your appreciation for the great kind of conversations and information you get here on the Larry Mueller Show every day of the week. Saturdays, too, actually. Right now, today, we've learned about late summer tomato blight. We've learned about trimming hibiscus. We've learned about pretty much anything you can imagine in the
trees,
garden.
Trees, blue stains.
Exactly. This is an example of the kind of informative and really fun, too, conversations that we have every day on this show.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to help make this program and many other programs possible. Choose a gift that works for you, an amount that works, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If listening to WPR is worth $4 a day to you, maybe consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 a year or more to support WPR programs, and that works out to less than $4 a day.
And if you contributed right now $1,200, they would match it.
It would go twice as far.
It would go twice as far.
It'd be a great time to do it.
Oh, man. If you've been getting value from WPR this year, you might consider a contribution that puts you into that 9XM leadership circle. I'll show you the secret handshake to get you into the meetings, as a matter of fact.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've got that handshake. Somebody asked me about it, and I showed it to them. You can make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Make that contribution right now.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make that contribution right now during our drive. Larry Mueller with Michelle Good asking for your support of WPR. And maybe your gift is $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We still have $2,000 in this dollar-for-dollar match available. This would be a great time if you want to become a 9XM leadership member. $4 a day, $1,200 a year, that would be a $2,400 pledge. This is also a great time if you only have $5 to contribute. It's showing your support. It's a vote for Larry Mueller. But you also get that pledge doubled, so it becomes 10. You get to do a little more. Don't let us leave any of that money out there. The generous donation from Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, let's take advantage of that. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Be inspired. Double the impact of your pledge right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every Friday, 52 weeks of the year, we hear from a different guest expert about gardening. And some are horticulture professors. Some, like Melinda Myers, have broad experience written widely on the subject. Other people specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants. Support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long. Support it with your pledge at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552, and still money out there.
We still have money out there. When you make a pledge, it is an investment. And you know what? It's an investment that gives back. It gives back in news. It gives back in entertaining programs, inspiring music, garden talk. It gives back when we get insect diagnostic. The guy from the insect diagnostic lab comes in and answers
PJ Leash.
All kinds of questions. If you have never given before, maybe it's time. Become our next new member right now and get your money doubled.
It's as simple as this. We're here because you're here, both as a listener and as a donor. Become our next new member at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 with a pledge of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you. Thanks for your support, and we think you'll be happy with your investment in the programs you rely on.
Larry, I know I'm getting a little urgent
here. We still have $1,000.
But we only have about 2.5 minutes left, and we still have $1,000 out there. I know that there are people out there who listen to Garden Talk reliably every Friday, and they probably haven't made a pledge yet. Now is the time. $5, $100, $1,000, whatever it is, whatever you can afford. It's time to give back and do your part. The time is now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And maybe you're saying to yourself, oh, I'll pledge next time.
Well, not for Garden Talk.
Not for Garden Talk. This is it. Today's your last chance to pledge your support for this show during the membership drive.
So don't delay. Procrastinators unite. Join the community of people who come together to make great radio, to make Larry Mueller possible. Get your money doubled and pledge now. We still got a little under $1,000, but there is still time. Once a chapter a day starts, you still have an opportunity. You've got about 4 minutes to do it. Do it now. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. Makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel about the program. We're going away here in a few seconds now, but there's still time for you to pledge and take advantage of that dollar-for-dollar match. We're at about $1,800. There's still $700 to go.
Show the love for Larry.
Show the love right now. Contribute at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for listening.